Okay, before we break here, Tom, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive and how they can check it out.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. What we do is review new and used cars. All our stuff is at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with stuff. That's at our blog. You can get there from consumerguide.com or go there directly at the CG Daily Drive blog.
There you go. And we've got some fun stuff that you did for CG Drive, Daily Drive, and we're going to be talking about the bustle backs of 1982. Tom, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to talking about that. So hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. He joins us once a month to talk all things automotive and answer any and all of your questions. So if you've got a car or a automotive question, text or call us right now at 312-981-7200. Yeah. Ooh, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m., and 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. Do it now. 312-981-7200. Also, call us right now with any and all of your automotive and car-related questions. Tom Appel is joining us for his monthly visit. 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Tom back. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, let's start off with a couple of recall stories. It seems like every month that you're on, Tom, we have at least one or two recall stories or recall notices. The first one is about Ram trucks.
Yeah, this one's a big one, a million trucks total.
Huge recall.
Interesting. It's not the kind of thing you normally hear a recall fall for. What's interesting is that it's just a software glitch that is potentially very dangerous. But what's happening is that after the vehicle, a 2013 or through 2016 Ram pickup, 1500s, 2500s, and 3500s, after the vehicle experiences a jolt or maybe hits a big bump or something like that, something resets. And the bad news is that the software won't trigger the rollover detector or the seatbelt tensioner in a rollover incident. And there's been one death and two injuries that may or may not be related to this fault.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're recalling a bunch of vehicles. It's probably a very easy, quick fix. It's probably just a software update. But the cars, the vehicles do have to go in for the update.
And again, it's what type of cars, again? And people will get notices, correct, Tom?
They will absolutely get notices, yeah. The odds of this, you running into a problem with this, are very, very slim, but it is a real situation that should be corrected. It's 2013 through 2016 Ram pickups.
Okay.
And you can call your dealer just to make sure your vehicle is included in the. It seems like it's all of them, though. It's just a bunch of trucks.
Yeah. Okay, man, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's really big. And it's expected to begin June 23rd?
I think that's when they start. They're going to have the patch ready.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. And then Tesla is doing a recall.
Yeah, Tesla recalls are always interesting because Tesla is reluctant to call things a recall unless they have to actually see the vehicle. They do all sorts of software updates all the time, and it makes the U.S. government so mad because a lot of the things that they fix via cellular system should be called recalls, but they don't do that. But in this case, it's a hardware problem. There's a little problem with the brakes, and I think it's about 50,000 cars that have to be fixed. So, yeah, owners will be getting notices on those.
53, what I got the piece in front of me says it's 53,000 Model S and Model X.
Yeah, which is actually everything they sell right now.
Oh, that's okay. that narrows it down then.
Yeah. It's most of the vehicles that have been built so far this year.
And it's a faulty parking brake is what the problem is.
Yeah, it's not a very big, it's not a, The safety concern here is fairly small, but you do have to get it fixed.
Okay. All right. So those are the latest in the world of recall. We're already getting some texts in, Tom.
Okay.
And people have questions, comments, please call or text us at 312-981-7200. 312 says, Tom's thoughts on the new Chevy Cruze.
Oh, the new Cruze. Yeah, Cruze has been updated, and I like it a lot. The Cruze is one of my favorite compact cars. It is not the sportiest car, and it's probably not the best deal just at raw dollars, but it is one of the roomiest compacts, nicest interior, nicest riding, smoothest drivetrain. I like the Cruze a lot. I would cross-shop it against something that's a lot sportier, like a Ford Focus. And then if you like that refinement but maybe want to spend a little less money, the Hyundai Elantra is a great car to look at that class, too. And there's always the Civic.
Mm, yeah, how long has the Civic been around?
That name has been around for something like 40 years.
God, yeah.
And it's always been a good car.
You know, one of my exes had a Civic, and then we ended up living together, so that Civic sort of became my Civic. And I enjoyed driving that car. It was a good car.
Yeah, my wife had a Civic when I met her, and it was just something she bought really cheap, and we could not kill it.
Yeah.
It just ran forever.
No matter how you tried.
No, she's not a good car owner. It survived nonetheless.
Right, there you go. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And if you have any questions automotive-related, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio, the seventh floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. We're going to talk about Saturday morning cartoons. What did you used to watch in the 80s, even the 90s, and, of course, the 70s? In my opinion, the classic time period for Saturday morning cartoons. We'll get to that a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Tuesday. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. Get them in. 312-981-7200. And also, same number for talk and text for Tom Appel. Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributed to their Daily Drive blog, and their website is consumerguide.com. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And if you have any automotive or car-related questions, we would love to help you out. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, man. So let's talk about this this program, CarFit.
Yeah.
I think this is really great. It's at CarFit. It helps senior citizens become more comfortable driving, and it helps them out with some of the problems that they may have. And this is a really great program. I've never heard of it before.
No, and I'm newly familiar to it as well, and I'm pretty impressed by it. CarFit is a not-for-profit organization, and they take a traveling event to different places. They'll be in the Chicago area for two more events. You can check them out at CarFit, something like CarFit.com, but they're easy enough to find on Google. But what they're doing is they're going to places, inviting seniors to stop by with their own cars. And they're having them sit in their cars and making sure that they can reach the steering wheel, that they've adjusted the mirrors as best possible to avoid blind spots, which is hard for anybody. That's not a senior.
Yeah.
That's just a tricky thing to do. But additionally, making sure that people are able to get in and out easily enough. And there are some interesting, very simple devices that can help you get in and out of a car and things like that. And they can help you decide which ones are best for you. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool program. Essentially, it allows older drivers who may or may not be slowing down a little bit to better able to drive comfortably.
Yeah, I think that's really, really great. And the next two are May 20th at the Arlington Heights Senior Center and then June 10th at the Oak Brook Park District.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And they said they won't turn anyone away, but the program is aimed at seniors.
Right. And actually, you know what, the piece that I read – the person, there was a woman who was quoted as not being a senior, and she took the CarFit thing and said it helped her.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. And there's a lot of things that we don't learn in driver's ed about driving well, about how far we should be from the steering wheel, and how – because people are usually too far from the steering wheel, and they can't really rotate the wheel with both hands easily enough if they have to do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that CarFit helps people with.
And she said that I'm not a senior citizen. I have been through the program as a driver, and everyone benefits from it. When I went through the program, one of the things that was most helpful for me was to reduce my blind spots significantly. And I always say that if you're going to leave a safer driver having been through the CarFit program.
Yeah, they make a great point about that, too, is that as you get older, it's a little harder to turn and crane your neck.
Right.
So eliminating the blind spots is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, one more time, May 20th at Arlington Heights Senior Center, and then June 10th at Oak Brook Park District. And you just bring your car, right?
Yep, bring your own car.
Bring your own car. And if you want more information, at CarFit is what it's called, CarFit.com would be the website. All right, that's a great program. Very, very cool. You got some more texts here, Tom.
Oh, cool.
Mark and Elgin said, trying to decide between 2017 Honda CR-V versus Hyundai Tucson, it seems that the CR-V is so popular, there are not a lot of deals on it.
That's absolutely correct. On the Tucson, you can finagle a better deal. My problem with the Tucson, and this is a lot of people's problem, it makes use of a 7-speed double-clutch transmission, which is really good for fuel economy and really good for performance. It's a little irritating in low speed. The shifts are very abrupt, and sometimes there are shifts you don't expect. Mm. It's not as smooth driving as the CR-V, which is almost flawless underway. So, yeah, I would drive them both. The Tucson's a nice vehicle, nice interior, but the Civic dynamically is better. I'm sorry, the CR-V is better dynamically and probably the vehicle I would choose.
Okay. Well, there you go, Mark. And by the way, I know, Tom, I think you're aware of this. Our good friend, the best producer ever, Dan Shagru, and his family have just moved up to a new minivan.
I heard this.
Yeah. Dan, tell Tom about it or everybody else.
Yeah. Well, Tom, actually, the nice thing about having a car expert who joins you once a month is you can ask him questions
right.
about your potential car thing. So we bought a 2015 Chrysler Town & Country Touring L. And not to blow smoke up Tom's butt here, but you know, it was really helpful because, when we looked at it, one of Tom's colleagues had actually reviewed it on CG Daily Drive. And, so when we went in, we knew some of the issues he had with it. And that's why we went with the L version, which is a little bit more luxurious, which helped account for some of the things that, he had issues with. But, overall, you know, he had recommended it. I asked Tom about it. He also recommended it. And so, we went that route and, we're pretty happy with it.
Yeah. How long you had it now? A couple weeks?
Yeah. Just a couple days officially.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay.
But you may be closing in on a week, but yeah, it's a great car. We're having a lot of fun with it. And, like I said, you know, the things that Tom's colleague had pointed out in the review that were issues, you know, we know about and are working through and making adjustments on. And, you know, it's just nice to have a car we can trust, you know, and obviously with that amount of space. So,
yeah, that's great.
And, Tom, actually, his family just purchased a car too.
What'd you get, Tom?
Oh, we just purchased a used. We bought a 2014 Nissan Juke that is now officially our second vehicle as my daughter comes online as a driver.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Oh, so your daughter's now driving?
She is.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't know.
What's the issue?
It's less a reflection of her, and it's just funny to watch a new driver really close up. And, you know, I've been driving for so long, and when I started driving, I really wanted to drive.
Yeah.
And this is no secret. I did a lot of driving before I was supposed to drive.
Yeah.
And the world's now so different now. Kids don't really want to drive. My kid kind of avoided it, and it's more of a chore for her to drive. And without this passion for it, it's just this thing she needs to learn.
Yeah.
And she's not great at it, if that makes any sense, you know. And she'll get better over time, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish she had a little zeal for it and was just really into it.
Yeah.
Instead, it's a chore that she has to do. And I don't know. Just, oh.
I did see you posted the picture of her with her license.
Yes.
Yeah. On Facebook. So I just didn't know that you felt a little mixed about this.
Yeah, well, because, you know, it's a kid, and it's my kid, and she's driving, and driving's dangerous, and so, I got to let go now. It's just a little scary. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck with that. Good luck with the new car for both of you guys. Enjoy your new vehicles. We got another question here. If you have a question, you guys have any questions, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Any car-related questions, 312-981-7200. 815 area code, Tom.
Yep.
How reliable is Carfax? Sold a van to a guy who says he junked it, but Carfax says he still owns it.
So he junked it, but Carfax says that's interesting. And I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Because junking it is something that probably the title hasn't changed. If he still has the title, it would still show him as him owning it.
Mm-hmm.
So unless that title moves or he declares it as junked, that might happen. Obviously, you can't sell it now. It's been junked, so I don't know how dangerous that situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Carfax is entirely dependent on reported events, and most events are reported with almost great regularity. I actually really like Carfax. I insisted on it in the car I just bought. and I have a great deal of faith in it. I think it's very reliable.
Dan, did you use Carfax?
Yes, we did.
And it was good for you?
I mean, we Eileen and I both agreed that if it had any accidents, we would not purchase it, and it came back clean on the Carfax. So
yeah.
that was our last thing before we signed the check.
So for the most part, Carfax is reliable, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 219 area code says, what car is good for a family with five kids who need car seats?
All five need car seats?
Jeez.
Wow.
Wow, that's a busy mom.
Yeah, that is, and that's a tough thing to do. So you're looking for something with a full three-passenger bench seat in the middle and then something that can take two car seats in the third row. So you're looking for a very large vehicle. Obviously, you can do something with something like a Chevy Tahoe or a Ford Expedition. Those are really big. But something along the lines of a Chevy Equinox, which is a very roomy three-row crossover, that's a good car for it. The new Mazda CX-9, which is just redesigned, that's one of the larger crossovers as well. You're looking for one of them, make sure you get the bench. Well, obviously, you have to get the bench seat in the middle so you can get three seats in there, which is a heck of a chore.
Yeah.
hooking up that middle one in the row of three is really difficult.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's a story, Tom, I want to touch on before we break here. About people not being, you can't buy cars online. Now, you can buy pretty much everything else that you would ever want to buy. You can get it online, but we still got to go to the dealership to get a car. Is that going to change? And why is that the thing?
It's probably not going to change anytime soon. One thing that we have in the United States is a very powerful dealer organization. And from that comes franchise law. Franchise law is different than all 50 states, but it's very similar. And one of the rules of franchise law is that the factory cannot sell a vehicle directly to the public. You have to go through a franchise dealer. And that means that you can't take delivery directly from the manufacturer. So you have to work with the dealer. So you can go online. You can negotiate your car. You can pick out your car. You can even order your car. But it's got to go through a dealer where ultimately also the price will be determined.
Mm. So it's still – I mean, I haven't purchased a car in many, many, many years. But I don't know. I there are certain things that I don't mind purchasing online, you know, little things here and there, stuff on Amazon here and there. But for some reason, something as big as a car, I think I want to have human interaction when I do that.
You do, and there's a certain amount of millennial disinterest in the process, too, where you don't even want to test drive the vehicle, which I think is just a little alarming.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show how the passion for driving is starting to, you know, is continuing to decline. But, yeah, you want to test drive the car. If you have a trade-in, you absolutely have to go through a dealer.
Of course, yeah.
Someone has to appraise the vehicle.
Yeah.
Additionally, if you want to finance the vehicle, you can handle that without the dealer. It's often easier to work with a dealer on financing.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on how you want to go.
Yeah. That's one thing. Like if I were in the market for a car, I would rather have human interaction and test drive it and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
this is the situation too that Tesla is fighting. Tesla doesn't want to work with franchise dealers; it just wants to have factory stores. So you have this battle in every state where Tesla does business fighting franchise law.
I see. Okay. All right, Tom, hang on. Okay.
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. We got more questions from you, 312-981-7200, and a few more car stories as well here on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. We're going to be talking about classic and what you watched on Saturday mornings, you know, your Saturday morning cartoon lineup. We'll talk a little bit about that. We are also going to try some weird food that Esmeralda brought. She brought in sort of these banana candy bars that Dan and Vic and I are going to try. And that's coming up a little bit later on as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have our monthly visit here with Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. Check out consumerguide.com. Follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back. Welcome back, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
All right. One of the things that you wrote about on the Daily Drive blog are the high-end haunches, the luxury bustle backs of 1982. Explain this phenomenon.
Yeah, it was a really weird period of time. and I don't know what the genesis was for this, but Cadillac used to build a car in the 30s with a very pronounced haunch. And one of the things about cars in the 20s and 30s is that when you said trunk, there used to at one point actually be a trunk hanging off the back of the car. And that eventually became integrated because that storage space was necessary. And some companies handled that beautifully. Early Mercedes did that great. And there was a Cadillac with a very distinct angled rear trunk that still looked like it was added on, but it was kind of integrated into the design. And it was very distinct and very beautiful. For whatever reason, and I can't tell you why, Cadillac decided in 1980 to revisit that design in a modern car. So the 1980 Cadillac Seville, which was all new that year, has this bizarre-looking angled trunk that's described as a bustle back. Mm-hmm. Some people love it. I'm in the camp that hates it. It's just really strange. It's extremely distinct-looking.
Yeah.
And you know it if you remember it or if you see it again. It's the craziest-looking thing. But the crazier part about it was Cadillac did it for 1980. Then Chrysler mimicked the look on its new Imperial for 1981. And then for whatever reason, Lincoln decided to mimic the same look for 1982 when it redesigned the Continental.
Yeah.
You had these three really expensive American cars, all for a very brief period of time, sporting these crazy bustle backs that were very distinct, very strange, and very love them or hate them.
Wow. All right. I do want to mention, you know, you talk about the Chrysler Imperial.
Yeah.
I love the most expensive option for this one. It's the Frank Sinatra edition for an extra almost $1,100. Do you know what exactly is the Frank Sinatra edition?
Well, the best option, and you can still find these occasionally on eBay, was the Mark Cross leather box that had either a collection of Frank Sinatra 8-tracks or cassettes in it.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it was a very expensive set of tapes.
Wow. And 0 to 60 in 16.5 seconds on that one.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, yeah it is. A couple of texts here, Dom.
All right.
All right. 608 area code says, I was wondering Tom's thoughts on the Malibu LT. We've only owned GM cars.
Oh, I love the new Malibu. Consumer Guide made the current Malibu Consumer Guide Best Buy. So this is a consensus of our editors, not just me. Very refined, very roomy, very nicely finished inside. Not quite as high-end luxurious inside as it should be, but very nicely finished. But quiet, refined, roomy, nice car in that class, in our favorite.
Okay, very cool. And the 262 area code says, what do you know about the new Jeep pickup?
The Jeep pickup is probably due for the 2019 model year, and it's probably going to be called Scrambler, which is a Jeep Heritage brand name. But it's going to be based on the new Wrangler, which comes out later this year. Mm. And it's going to be a midsize pickup. It should be a pretty functional midsize pickup that's a lot like the GMC Canyon or Chevy Colorado, right around that size.
Okay. All right. And I want to mention before we let you go a really interesting thing that you wrote and about this 1956 short film called Key to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Is this can people watch this?
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing is the article links to the YouTube video.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's absolutely worth it. This was a General Motors Motorama video that shows hands-free, their prediction of what hands-free driving would be like in 1976.
Yeah.
So they missed by a couple of decades, but it's actually eerily accurate in some ways.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a great video.
Yeah, and so people can see it. I just love what did 1976 look like in the video?
Strangely, all of America's a desert. I don't know what that's about.
So they pictured the future, because this was in 1956. 20 years from then, in 1976, it's a desert.
Yeah, this family is driving from someplace to Chicago, and the route is all desert.
What?
It's not how I understand driving to Chicago, at least from Palatine.
Not a lot of desert between Chicago and Palatine.
Not that I see, no.
No. So it gets a little bit close to the technology, though.
Yeah, it really does. It involves embedded infrastructure, so you line your car up with a path that's already in the road. It's pretty cool, and they show that, you know, there's more fussiness to it than someone would accept today.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it's really cool stuff, and it shows how the driver has to line up with the road, and then at some point, when everything's cool, he has to release control, and he folds a steering wheel away. Like, this stuff is pretty cool, and not a bad guess.
And the Super Cruise, the Cadillac Super Cruise option, due for next year, is similar to this.
Yes, it is. Super Cruise, available on the Cadillac CT6 and some trim levels next year, will be very similar to the level of autonomy that's currently on the Tesla Model S.
Mm.
And it will allow certain amounts of hand-free driving once you're on the interstate.
Okay. And if people want to see this really cool short film from 1956 called Key to the Futures from General Motors, it is linked up. The YouTube video is linked up on the article that's at cgdailydrive.com.
Yep, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page right now.
Okay, cool. He'll put it up on the Facebook page if you guys want to check that out and see a cool old film that predicts what it would be like to drive in 1976. All right. Oh, by the way, I didn't ask you, Tom, what have you been driving lately?
I am driving right now the 2017 Toyota Highlander Limited. So this is the most loaded non-hybrid Highlander you can get. This is their midsize crossover. Very refined. I like it a lot. It's not sporty. It's not exactly fun to drive, but it's a commuter car. It's very refined, quiet, rides well. Good car.
All right. Good car. And we can all find out what good cars are by going to Consumer Guide Automotive, checking it out, and following Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure, man, and we'll talk to you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Okay,
thanks.
Take care, buddy. There you go. Tom Appel, everybody, our car guy. He'll be back again with us next month.